Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. My name is Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Jay Posner, sports editor of the Union Tribune. I could tell this is going to be a fun one because this team, I think, has scored six runs in the last four games, I believe. Lost 4-0 last night. Bob Melvin finally lost his cool. That's losing your cool when you're Bob Melvin. He was he sat like this the whole time, crossing my arms for those not watching live, and his voice was curt and it rose and you could absolutely, you know, when you can tell someone is holding it in, it was like that.
And so what should we take from all this, that we're 100 and I don't even know how many games, 144 games in or 143 now, I don't know, can't do the math. Whatever it is, we're over 140 games into the season, and he finally has had enough with this team that is, I would say, almost anyone would say, has been underachieving since, I forget the date that you have, in June something, right? So it's 3 months. What do we take from the fact that it took 3 months for this? And I don't know what Melvin has done in private.
Thank you.
I saw that you wrote that at least a couple guys said they had never seen him this angry. I know, you know, people on the outside always want managers to have explosions like this, you know, four times a game or at least four times a week. Not to exaggerate, but really a lot is what I think people expect. People always love coaches who blow up and, you know, that sort of thing. But what do we... What do we, I guess we'll start with, what do we take from this right now?
Well, it was June 17th when they were 17 games over 500. They were about to play the Rockies in Colorado. They just swept the Cubs. Things were looking good, man. They scored so many runs, the pitching staff. And I don't know the record since then, but obviously it hasn't been very good. And as far as, you know, Bob Melvin's strength is instilling belief, is having an even hand, is talking to guys individually about, hey, this is how, you know, what we're going to do. Hey, I believe in you. And, you know, being real, but not like losing his mind. And by the way, how many other managers do you read about? Are you, you know, for all the people that, and I understand, look, I get it. I spent all of my life trying to figure this team out. Imagine my frustration. But are you reading about in these other cities where managers are, you know, going nuts all the time? I don't think you are. I know you're not.
No, of course not.
But you would lose your credibility to some extent. So what happens now? How the hell should I know? But Bob Melvin did something last night, and the players did nothing last night. And I honestly believe it was a tipping point. It is the first time, and I know it's so easy. I've asked the question several times, is this the same as last year? But I didn't think it was the same as last year until last night. And I'm not saying it's the same as last year, because let's be honest here. They went 12-34 over the final 46 games last year.
Right.
They have 19 games to play from game 117 on last year, 12-34. Since game 117 this year, they're 14-13. It's not good, but it's far better than last year. All right. So stop it with the last year.
Right. I think it's 18. Yeah, I think I just saw the numbers go by on the chart here on the bottom. So I think it's 18 games to go, 78-66.
Okay.
So they're 12 games over right now. You said they were 17 over before, so that tells us they're under by five since that point. I know it always just feels worse. I mean, I think the expectations obviously were even higher this year, you know, and one of the reasons was Bob Melvin. And
he
was the guy that was going to come in and make sure that this didn't happen. He was going to be the guy that came in and made sure this team didn't underperform. And you know, as you said, it's not as bad as last year, but it isn't very good.
No, it's not,
certainly
not as
not,
bad. Is it your goal? Right.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, Sean Manea was better last night, you know, but okay, he was better, but that's not your goal overall, is to, you know, have your starting pitcher go five innings. But still, in the big picture, I was thinking, we've talked about this before, can you imagine what it would have been like over the past 3 months with Andy Green or Jace Tingler as the manager here? Everything would have been heaped. Everything would have been heaped on the manager. And you've heard me talk for a long time, and you're lucky you won't have to hear it all that much more, except you know you will, because I'll still bother you. And you'll love it. But I've talked a lot about how much really does a manager make a difference? How much really does a coach make a difference in a sport? And I don't know the answer to it. My feeling has always been it's less than people think. And I hate the fact that I'm being proven right this year, because if I was being proven wrong, the Padres would be, I don't know, they'd have 90 wins by now, because Bob Melvin was supposed to fix everything that Jace Tingler couldn't do last year. And we're seeing now that there's a bigger problem here, and I don't know what it is. And I don't know if it's, you know, it's easy to say, well, there's something in the clubhouse or in the culture or something. I don't know what that is. I don't know if anybody knows what it is. If they did, they would fix it. I mean, how does Juan Soto, and I'm not saying this facetiously, but people have talked about Juan Soto like he was the next Ted Williams. He had those kind of numbers before he came to San Diego. He's like, what is it now, 3 for 48?
Yes.
I mean, how does something like that happen? And it can't just be, oh, well, he changed teams and the staff and the coaches aren't as good here. Bob Melvin's done an awful lot in his career, and so have some of the other guys on the staff. And I know the hitting coach hasn't, and it's easy to say it's the hitting coach. I can't believe a guy of Juan Soto's ability depends on a hitting coach to be as good as he is. So why is Juan Soto hitting 202 as a Padre? Why is Josh Bell hitting, you know, 204 as a Padre? I don't have the answers, and obviously Bob Melvin doesn't have the answers either. And last night was the point where he just kind of, it's almost like he threw up his arms and said, I don't know what the hell else you guys want me to do. You guys need to play better. Now, maybe that's oversimplifying it, but I think that was kind of my takeaway from it. It's like, I don't know what else you guys want from me.
I think it is.
In a way, it's not like he's given up.
I also think that, yeah. You know, Bob Melvin is the guy who's had the talk after, well, what did he miss? 19 games. You know, he's the guy who has the talk after all these games, right?
Yeah.
And last night was, it wasn't the first time, but it was a rare time. And it was like the most, I don't want to say angry, but like throw up his hands time, where he said, you'll have to ask them to a question.
Right, right.
If I were him, that would have happened in June. I don't know what to tell you guys, why these guys are 0-for-9 and runners in scoring position. I don't know why this guy's trying to bunt. I mean, like, whatever. I would have, you know. So it's always to judge a manager in the heat of the moment right after a game when the manager's the guy. Juan Soto didn't talk last night. Now, I'm not calling out Juan Soto. He has talked after losses. He has talked after wins. Last night was terribly disappointing. You could see he's wearing it. You can see he's practically begging for calls. Juan Soto didn't have to beg for calls when he first got here. So I'm not – that's fine. You don't want to talk every night. That's fine. But
I agree.
Bob Melvin has to.
Yeah.
So, you know, that I'm not critiquing Bob Melvin today at all. I'm more with you. And certainly if this thing falls apart, let's say that they go 6-12, right, and they miss the playoffs – you got to ask the question, what was the difference? Well,
right.
I do know last year, like I was thinking last year, when another middling pitcher threw a no-hitter against these guys in this same awful stadium in August, the next day Fernando Tatis Jr. came back and hit two bombs, and they won 8-2. Now, I think they lost 7 in a row after that and like 8-9 or something. Tatis couldn't change everything. But they don't have Tatis and haven't had him all year. I mean, there's a litany of things. Still, this team should not be 5 games under 500 over the past 3 months. This team should be better than 14-13 since game 117.
And I know that, you know, the easy thing is to blame AJ Preller for a lot of this or for all of it. I don't know, whatever people want to do. And of course, it's his team and that sort of thing. But I don't remember too many complaints when the Padres traded for Manaea. I don't remember any complaints when they made the deal for Soto and Bell that was supposed to put them over the top. And so I guess, you know, my question would be, you can blame a lot of stuff. And I even tweeted this the other night. I think you can blame a lot on Preller. I certainly blame giving up certain players and that sort of thing. But I don't think you can, it's not like you can blame everything on him. You know, he traded for Juan Soto and Josh Bell, and he got, I don't want to mention the two guys I always mention at this point, but he got guys off the 2016 and 2017 Padres. That's where I don't know that the GM, and that's why I also don't know how these guys survive this stuff, you know, and how they basically make their living and their livelihood depends on how other people really perform in pressure situations. And I mean, you and I used to talk about that at football games. You know, livelihoods depend on a flag being thrown or a kick being missed or you know, a hold being called or not called and that sort of thing. It changes lives. And I think, you know, it's the same situation here. And I'm not sure if you would have told AJ Preller on August 2nd, you know, your professional livelihood depends on Juan Soto and Josh Bell coming here and making a difference. He and probably 29 other general managers in baseball would have said, bring it. Perfect. Let's go. How can this be screwed up? So I don't know. Again, it's not necessarily a defense of Preller. I guess it's a little bit of one. But I've never met Preller. I've never met Melvin. I've never met any of these people. I just know what I see from the outside and what I know from reading what you write and talking to you. At some point, and I've said this for so long, it's the players. Now, why the players can't perform as they have in the past, I don't know. I will say one other thing about Melvin. He doesn't have to play Trent Grisham as often as he plays.
It's a question for today.
They do have another player.
It's a question for today. Yeah. Certainly, Jose Azokar is better against left-handed pitching, but he has hit right-handed pitching. He's not going to hit home runs, which Trent Grisham can, but or 17 home runs, enough to have him in the lineup all the time. It will be Azokar today because Madison Bumgarner's on the mound, so we don't have to worry about it. But it is, you know, a time to ask. Now, look, there's also some of Luis Liberato pinch hit last night.
I was going to say, he doesn't have to send up Luis Liberato either.
Now, why not having Nola in there? I don't know. I know you were waiting Myers to face the lefty, Mantiply. Yeah. You don't have any other lefties on the bench besides Liberato. But Luis Liberato, I mean, why not Jorge Alfaro? Because you're a slave to right left? So my there was both a questioning of Melvin and a defense of Melvin is, as we've said all along, with only some like maybe backing off when they were doing well and some guys were performing above levels and all that, like when Jurickson Profar, who last night acknowledged he's not been good for a month. Well, Jurickson Profar is playing more than he has in some time. And, exactly. And Ha-Sung Kim is playing, and I have something coming out of Ha-Sung Kim later today, is playing way more than he ever has. So, there were times when they were up here, and it was like, okay, cool, this is what a team needs to do to be a winning team, have guys overachieve. But we have otherwise said from the start of spring training, this roster isn't very deep. This roster really isn't that good.
Right, for $215 million, you would have expected a deeper roster. Now, obviously, Tatis is a huge part of that.
And you got Soto, you got Bell. And by the way, here's the people that get to kind of gloat now. If on August 2nd, you said, you know, the best thing the Padres did today was get Brandon Drury, then you get to gloat.
Yes. Yes. I mean, and look, you know, Myers was out for a long time, which probably meant Profar had to play more earlier. Nobody
he couldn't get days off. It was like 37 exactly. games in a row, that kind of thing.
And,
right.
And he could have gotten a day or two here. And I would question Melvin a little bit there. He could have put just about anybody out there just to give Profar a day. But, you know, nobody thought Ha-Sung Kim was going to have to play this much because Tatis was going to be back. I mean, there have been issues like that, you know, but there's also been issues in terms of, you know, they put a lot of stock in Trent Grisham. He's been, for the most part, a terrible player this year. They put a lot of stock in Matt Beatty at the start of the year. He was going to be the lefty, you know, sort of DH pinch hitter type, a John Vanderwall, even a Mark Sweeney type. He was awful, you know, that sort of thing. So there have been different players that have been put in positions that they probably shouldn't have been put in. But at the same time, it wasn't all their fault. It wasn't all management's fault, but there's just sort of a coming together of circumstances that worked against them a little bit. I do think, you know, it's Profar has not been good for a while, but I just think, like you said, and we talked, people said at the beginning of the year, and we said on here, they need another left fielder. And the reason was Profar is not a 160 game left fielder. And so that was where, and I think that's where Matt Beatty was supposed to help. And he didn't, or maybe Trace Thompson was going to help and he didn't here. Of course he went to LA and helped because that's how things work. Anyway, I don't, you know, we do this twice a week and we've been doing this for these last 3 months that the Padres have been struggling, and we look to come up with answers. And look, if Melvin doesn't have any answers, what hope do you and I have?
None of these things that you said, and you certainly didn't mean them, doesn't mean they shouldn't be better than they are right now. That's the crazy thing is,
yeah.
Because for all this, these holes we've talked about and these deficiencies, they went out and got Juan Soto, and Josh Bell was hitting 300 when they got him. Yeah. So, you know, now Brandon Drury showed you last night that maybe some of the previous 10 games could have been better if he hadn't have got the concussion. Sure. Maybe. And at this point, two victories could be, we'd be talking about something entirely different. Look, from my perspective, if this team goes 12-6 and makes the playoffs and then doesn't do very well in the playoffs, I still have the same thought about it. Why weren't they better? No matter what was going to be happening here the last few weeks, I knew that by the end of the season, whenever that was, save for maybe an LCS berth or a World Series berth or championship, I was going to be asking the questions like, how are you going to actually get better? Because like this wasn't. So like what I'm saying is this terrible disappointment right now isn't that much different than if they had five more wins. I just it's been a disappointing season regardless.
It has. And I don't think the Tatis factor can ever be overlooked in that. But there's also guys that just, you know, the deals that were made and guys that were brought in. And, you know, I mentioned Manaea has been a disappointment. You know, Clevinger has been somewhat of a disappointment. But again, he's coming off a second Tommy John. So you tend to throw him a little bit of slack. You know, Musgrove has not been as good. I don't even want to say since the contract, but even before the contract. And I don't want to imply that there's anything to do with the contract. He just hasn't been. He hasn't been as good. I mean, where would they be without you, Darvish? You know, we've talked a lot about where would they be without Machado. The other guy is where would they be without Darvish? And a lot of relievers have pitched well throughout most of the season. And I know, you know, I mentioned, I think before, Robert Suarez is one of those guys that has pitched a lot. Everybody had this feeling after the first game, oh, Robert Suarez is terrible, but he's been pretty good. And there's been several other guys who have been good. Nick Martinez, I know, gave up a home run last night, but has been very valuable. We have a Q&A with him going up later today. So the pitching hasn't been faultless either, because there have been guys, just as there have been underachievers on offense, there have been underachievers on the pitching staff as well, and they don't have a 26-year-old coach that everything can be blamed on either. So
there is something, and this goes before Michael Berdar. It was last year, certainly wasn't 2020, but 2020 completely, let's throw it out, because the Padres were pretty good after 60 games this year too, I think.
Yeah.
So, they were really good after 60 games last year too. And I wrote about it a little bit in the newsletter today. This team has become passive at the plate. I mean, of all the infuriating things about watching this team, I would imagine, it's watching them watch strikes and beg for balls and go up there and seem like they have no idea. And that is, listen, I'm the guy who watches these guys and talks to these guys every day. For me to say something like that takes a lot, because I probably have too much respect for how difficult it is to hit in the major leagues. Like, I don't understand how they do it at all. But the fact is, they're paid millions of dollars, not all of them. Some of them just hundreds of thousands. They are supposed to be the best in the world. And somehow, other teams do it better. The Padres' on-base percentage, it was a organizational focal point, has risen dramatically. Not so much lately, but it has. Their slugging percentage has gone down. Well, congratulations, you're getting on base. Slugging kind of important. It is paralysis. I wish I could find a rhyme, you know, like paralysis by analysis, but it's paralysis by selectivity. And it's been going on for too long. And I don't know if it's, and I've asked a lot of people and they're it's a combination of the, you know, the makeup of the players. Some of the guys just haven't responded, whatever. They have a huge problem there.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I did have it on my imaginary list in my head when I read that this morning, that was really, really fascinating stuff that I hope people got a chance to read, because we can't just cover it all on here, but it was really, really good information. And it struck me, because obviously I see, you know, most of the games, and it's so obvious when they do this, and we both hear about it from fans all the time. And, you know, there are some players who are more guilty of it than others, Trent Grisham, but he's not the only one that has become like this. And, you know, I could look this up last night. Grisham has struck out around 55 times this year.
I think it's 52 or three, but yes.
Yeah, so give or take. I know it's over 50. He's more than anyone in baseball. And I don't, I almost hate to bring this up, but I will. Because there was only one Tony Gwynn. But Tony Gwynn, in his entire career, struck out more than 35 times in a season total once. You know how many times he struck out that year? 40. So Grisham has struck out looking more this year than Gwynn ever struck out in a season in his career. And it's not to say that everybody should be Tony Gwynn, and people strike out more now than they did then, and Grisham hits home runs and Gwynn didn't hit a lot of home runs. But there's still something in that. That at some point you've got to look to hit the ball. And there are so many times this year, as you said, where you watch games and, you know, pitches are taken. And I know that there's guesswork and that happens to other teams, but watching guys strike out looking, that has to be rank among the highest on the frustration scale of fans, because it's like you can't accomplish anything at the plate really other than a walk or sticking your elbow out into a pitch if you don't swing the bat, right?
Right. So, and I'll tell you this too, that kid last night, Dre Jameson, was getting squeezed by that umpire too. The Padres got some calls, especially early on.
Credit. I was watching another game that was way more interesting, as you probably know. I had one game on small, as you know, but
he did not pitch as well as Ryan Nelson, who, by the way, the Padres face on Sunday, did. Like that was one of the things, too, that made it a little bit like the Tyler Gilbert no-hitter. That last week, you're watching Ryan Nelson, and you're like, wow, this kid is pitching really well. Like, you're a little kind of like, you know what, the Padres should still be doing better, you know. But this kid was pitching really well. Last night, that kid was nothing special. I mean, I hate to take it away, and so did the Padres, and they tiptoed around it. But they should have, you know, done better against him. And you still want to say, hey, major league pitcher, good job, way to go. Had never seen him before. But no, that too many of these games have piled on top of each other. It's inexplicable. And clearly, Bob Melvin and the players felt it was, it was inexcusable as well last night. So we'll see, man. Blake Snell, Madison Bumgarner tonight. They face Zach Gallen tomorrow. He did give up three runs after, what was it, 44 innings without a run. He gave up three runs last start. He goes against Musgrove. These are pretty good pitching matchups, at least on paper, huh? Darvish against the Diamondbacks ace, Ryan Nelson, on Sunday. So,
well, here's where you'll know just how far the Padres have fallen. If they can't hit Madison Bumgarner tonight, that will really be it. Because the one thing that this team has done, no matter who's been wearing the uniform over the last couple of years, is they've hit Madison Bumgarner pretty well. And they frustrated him. And I don't know which umpire will be behind the plate tonight and will get those great looks that Madison Bumgarner gives to umpires. But it will be interesting to see what happens with Bumgarner. And then, like you said, Zach Gallen, I think it was 44 and a third, maybe, didn't give up a run until the other day, you know, and Ryan Nelson. And the Padres are throwing, basically, if they do make the playoffs the next 3 days, the Padres are throwing their three playoff, the three guys who are going to pitch, and I'm going to just presume it's going to be St. Louis I haven't looked at the standings lately and how close St. Louis is to the East.
I think those teams in the East will, they're fighting each other. So they're going to be
a five game difference. It's a five-game difference that one of those teams is going to get the bye. So, the Padres as the sixth seed would go to St. Louis, and and I don't know face Wainwright and Jordan Montgomery and Jose Quintana probably. I don't even know. They've got a couple other guys.
I think it's their best case scenario. The national press loves the Cardinals, and the Cardinals media loves the Cardinals, and they're the best thing ever. And it's the greatest story going, and, Albert Pujols and Molina and Wainwright. But I think that's a best case scenario. Should this terribly underachieving team somehow make it to the playoffs with what is now a 1.5 game lead, but you and I will call it a 2 game lead, giving them a half game for the tiebreaker.
So we'll see. At one point last night, I looked it up, and they were one for their last 25 with runners in scoring position. I'm guessing it's a little bit worse because I didn't keep track the last part of the game. I'm guessing it's somewhere in that range. So again, even when guys get on, it's not helping.
It's down near 120 or something batting average over the last 2 weeks with runners in scoring position. They had really surged, right?
Right.
And they were also hitting home runs, and it was like, okay. And that's been the real, the real problem with this team. They have been hardly mediocre for more than half the season. That's
right. Right. And now we're looking at 3 more games this weekend, and then you can not have to go to Phoenix again until next spring, and you only have to go twice next year during the regular season, which I know really devastates you. But and then the other thing is that leaves the Padres with 12 of the last 15 at home, if I counted that up right, starting with the Cardinals on Tuesday. So we will keep an eye on Albert Pujols and his home run count over the weekend, and whether there's a chance he could get to 700 here next week. And I guess that's it. We'll wish everyone a safe weekend, and enjoy whatever you decide to do. And we'll talk to you on Tuesday.
Thanks, everybody.